22.
1322, amend code regarding publication boxes.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, in 2009, during the development of the sidewalk management plan, stakeholders and city council desired to better manage the sidewalk by looking at different activities not currently addressed in city code. Publication boxes were identified as one of those activities, and the city began a pilot project in 2012 for a consolidated publication box program around Pioneer Courthouse Square. In 2014, PBOT convened neighborhood groups and publications to determine if the consolidated program was a good model to expand citywide. PBOT and the committee developed some basic regulation for freestanding publication boxes to address areas not covered by the consolidated program while still protecting the freedom of expression of the publications. In general, the neighborhood groups and publications are supportive of this compromise. Any revenue generated by permits for the consolidated publication box program will go to cost recovery. No permit is required for freestanding publication boxes. We have Rich Eisenhower and Kyle Chizik from PBOT and members of the stakeholder committee, or at least one member of the stakeholder committee, here to elaborate.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you. Kyle Chizik with Bureau of Transportation. So Commissioner Novick did summarize very well where we are in this process. The sidewalk management plan did indicate that we needed to do some work on publication boxes. Our pilot program was initially very successful, and so the ordinance and code change today is going to do really two things. One is focus on that consolidated program, allow for it to expand beyond the pilot area citywide as an opt-in program, and the second is just some basic fundamental regulations around freestanding newspaper boxes. The city has attempted in the past to broach this conversation, being sensitive to both neighborhood livability concerns and free speech issues. So we took a consensus-based approach where we could bring in neighborhood activists, we could bring in the publications and talk through some of the issues and come to some consensus around what we need to focus on in the future, what we need to continue to monitor, and what we can do now. So I'll turn it over to Lisa. She does have to leave, but has willingly stayed here. She's been in charge of the publication box pilot program down at Pioneer Square.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is Lisa Frisch, and I'm the retail program director at the Portland Business Alliance and Downtown Clean and Safe. I'm here today to provide a recap of our current co-located news rack pilot project around Pioneer Courthouse Square, and then to support the efforts of the Bureau of Transportation to formalize this pilot project into city code. The Clean and Safe District has long advocated for the placement of condo-style news racks on downtown streets, as they create more space in the right-of-way for pedestrians and ensure a clean and orderly streetscape aesthetic that is important for vibrant downtown. Since the enactment of the city's sidewalk management plan 4 years ago, the Clean and Safe District has been working in partnership with Portland City Council and key local publications, including the Oregonian, the Tribune, Willamette Week, and even Portland Mercury, to create a pilot program. Portland City Council approved the pilot program to better manage publications and newspaper boxes in July 2012. The four racks were placed around Pioneer Courthouse Square in September of 2012. Locations as follows: one at Broadway and Morrison, 6th and Morrison, Broadway and Yamhill, and 6th and Yamhill. The news racks were painted black to match the accessory poles in the Pioneer District. And they also have anti-graffiti coating. No commercial advertising is permitted on the news racks. The racks are cleaned and repaired by Clean and Safe on a daily basis. And we are pleased that in the 2 years of the pilot project, the racks have maintained a good physical appearance despite the harsh treatment of street furniture. During the two-year pilot project, we have heard only positive feedback from the participating publications and neighboring property owners and businesses. All publications on the street at the conversion date were provided stalls in the news racks. No new news racks popped up in the pilot area or were removed during the pilot project. Throughout the pilot project, publications expressed overwhelming positive feedback and support and a desire to formalize an expanded citywide program. The publications have shared with us that these racks help increase their circulation numbers. We feel strongly that print publications are an amenity to downtown business people, visitors, and transit riders, and we are pleased to offer these newspapers through an upgraded street fixture. Recently, the Downtown Clean and Safe Board voted to fund 10 additional co-located racks, and we are working now with PBOT staff to select sites for these racks to be placed over the next several months. Thank you again, Mayor Hales, Commissioner Novick, and other members of City Council for your support. Through these types of public-private partnerships, we can bring innovation to even the most everyday and mundane but necessary street furnishings. These small improvements make a difference in providing vibrancy and cleanliness to our downtown community. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. Hi, my name is Rich Eisenhower with the Bureau of Transportation. So just some highlights of our co-located program. It's basically we're going to allow it to expand citywide. It's an opt-in program where we work with neighborhood associations, business associations, to help regulate the newspaper boxes within their neighborhoods. They must accommodate all the publications that are in the area, and basically it restricts any freestanding boxes within the co-located box within 175 feet. On the freestanding boxes, like Kyle basically stated, we're just trying to implement basic regulations for placement, size, and maintenance. And basically there's some enforcement measures in there to help deal with all the abandoned boxes on the sidewalk today. And also on the box, we require that the publication has their contact name and number, so in case there's any problems, the public or city staff is able to find who is the responsible party.
We also have some other members of our stakeholder committee here as well that would like to testify on their experiences.
Great. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
So committee members, come on up, and we'll take anyone else after that. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Mayor and City Commissioners. My name is Fran Goldstein, a neighborhood activist. In the spring of 2011, members from the Safety and Livability and Transportation Committees of the NWDA met to talk about the proliferation of freestanding publication boxes in our neighborhood. As an older neighborhood with typical sidewalks only 10 feet wide, demands to accommodate A-board signs, street furniture, advertising, and landscape competes with the primary function of sidewalks as pedestrian thoroughfares. The increasingly widespread and haphazard distribution of these freestanding publication boxes allowed to be placed in the public right-of-way without any city oversight or regulation is one of these competing demands. These boxes pose obstacles for those approaching a sidewalk or a crosswalk or trying to get in and out of cars through walls of boxes every few feet along the curb. As a committee, we resolved to develop a common sense proposal to the City of Portland to address this single freestanding box issue. Realizing that other neighborhoods may be experiencing similar crowding, or with continued urbanization that others may soon find more boxes at their curbs, we set about contacting other neighborhood and business associations to gauge support for a citywide solution. In each conversation, we received overwhelming support to please advocate for regulations on the quantity, maintenance, and placement of boxes throughout the city. We were made well aware that all Portland neighborhoods deserve to have a managed pedestrian right-of-way. With expanded participation, our committee officially became the Joint Subcommittee on Sidewalk Management. During the next 18 months, we undertook activities to pave the way to solicit city government for action. We inventoried over 1,078 boxes on the city's west side and initially found that 85% of those boxes had graffiti and or damage, 67% violated the encroachment policy. We met with ONI and PBOT. A walkabout with TriMet resulted in the subsequent removal of boxes by them that we found obstructing bus and transit stops. We sent quarterly reports to many box owners asking that they please maintain their damaged, graffitied, and abandoned boxes. While many owners did respond positively, others did not. We researched Portland's existing codes and found that only Chapter 17.46 deals directly with pub box issues. However, that language is limited to the transit mall streets. So without any code in place to help us with our enforcement, our hands were tied. We realized the answer was to expand the language and code Chapter 17.46, from the limited area of the transit mall to sidewalks citywide. In December 2012, we submitted a comprehensive report to then-Mayor Adams, Mayor-elect Hales, and each commissioner outlining our clearly defined plan for managing these single freestanding publication boxes in the public right-of-way. And in February 2013, our subcommittee met with Commissioner Fritz to review the report and to keep the process moving during the transition from previous city council to new. She was quite supportive. In April of this year, a stakeholder task force named appropriately Resolving Conflicts with Publication Boxes in the Public Right-of-Way was formed. Led by PBOT, we reached agreement on amendments to the City of Portland Code Chapter 17.46 as a citywide ordinance. Today, after almost four full years, an experience in learning the ways of local politics that I will not soon forget, we are now before City Council. While this is obviously not a solution to poverty or world peace, it is a first step in improving the safety, appearance, and shared use of our sidewalks citywide, and I ask that Council vote yea that the City of Portland Code Chapter 17.46 be replaced as submitted. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I don't have a lot to add to
just
what...
Just put your name in the record.
I'm sorry. Jean Harrison. I'm chair of the NWDA Transportation Committee and was part of this ad hoc group and served on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee as well. What I really wanted to say was I never thought I'd be here talking about this because for decades I'd heard that we couldn't do anything about publication boxes and they were just going to be unregulated. So thank you, thank you, thank you. The Northwest neighborhood is still being inundated with a variety of objects that can loosely be called street furniture, which include A-board signs that were out of control, and BDS was extremely helpful in getting us some sweeps done and some regulation. The A-board signs are mostly under control. The publication boxes, which was our next topic to tackle, were blocking sidewalks, forcing pedestrians into the street, preventing people from accessing transit, and just generally interfering with pedestrian movement, which is a primary concern of our committee. We are so thankful to PBOT staff, particularly Kyle and Rich, who have been wonderful to work with, very patient. I also would like to thank the representatives of the print media who sat on the committee. Our conversations were often tense, but cordial. We did come to consensus. Nobody got everything they wanted, but we do feel like this is a step in the right direction that we can all live with. I'd also like to thank PBA for taking the initiative to not only sit on the committee, but provide sort of an inspirational approach to what can be done in not just the downtown, but other parts of the city. And we definitely in Northwest would like to pursue having these more attractive boxes as a way of displaying print media. And we will be working on that. So I guess that's all I wanted to say. Just thank you again to staff particularly. They were just great to work with. Thank you.
Thank you. As you know from other experience, some things take time around here.
Sometimes decades.
Thank you. Stan?
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I will be brief.
Oh, put your name in the record, Stan.
My name is Stan Penkin, representing the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. More than 3 years ago, several neighborhoods came together to work on a quality of life issue that may seem small to some, but which is one of many small but important issues. Others being things like graffiti, trash, and noise, that together greatly affects everyday life in our city. Over the years, the proliferation of publication boxes on our streets has become an eyesore, a nuisance, and an impediment to pedestrian traffic. The sight of empty boxes, graffiti-covered boxes, broken boxes blocking sidewalks, and so on, speaks to how we do not want our city to be. We are most pleased and appreciative that Commissioner Novick and PBOT have collaborated with the neighborhoods and the publishing community to sort through this problem and arrive at a policy that will properly address the issue. The ordinance presented to you today is the result of many months of effort by many parties under the leadership of Rich Eisenhower and Kyle Chizik from PBOT. The ordinance has been thoroughly reviewed, discussed, questioned, edited, and tweaked by all the stakeholders, and we strongly urge your adoption of it. Thank you for your consideration.
Dan, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
As part of this, Commissioner Novick has a do not sell list and has placed the Oregonian on it. Do you think that's appropriate?
I think based on this morning's editorial, it might be so.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for
your
help.
I just have to note that it may not solve world hunger or world peace, but astonishing perseverance by your group and sticking to it under multiple administrations, multiple commissioners in charge of transportation. And I'm just very, very grateful because it is an example. Sometimes it takes 4 years and you really have to stick to it. But you can get things done in the city as a citizen group working with the city, and this makes it better. The pictures showed that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for you sticking with us all the whole way. Thank you.
We do have one more person testifying.
Yes. Please.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Come on up.
Unless you want to do it for me. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jan Valentine, and I've been involved since day one on the groups that have been mentioned here, the Joint Subcommittee, and then the Stakeholders Group. Originally, I started out several years ago representing the Pearl District, but today I'm here to speak in favor of the ordinance as president of Friendly Streets, which is a Portland-based nonprofit group that is concerned about sidewalk management and the livability of all neighborhoods in the city of Portland. So that's our background. Friendly Streets has a goal to foster and assure safe, attractive, pedestrian-friendly urban neighborhoods. In that regard, our concern is that the proper regulation of public sidewalks must provide for multiple beneficial uses and the safety as well of all sidewalk users. In particular, based on physical surveys, we observe that there is a need to locate public amenities, such as publication boxes, in a way that respects everyone's legal rights while enhancing the pedestrian experience. We believe that the proposed change to amend City Code Chapter 17.46 addresses and ensures these straightforward objectives. I would also like to add that we think that the ordinance as drafted by the members of PBOT is very fair to all concerned publishers and pedestrians alike. So we sincerely urge its adoption, and we really thank you for your time and consideration. It also happens that the president of the Portland Downtown Association happens to be out of the country today. But Felicia Williams, who's president of Portland Downtown Neighborhood Association, did submit her testimony her signature.
Good.
Would it be okay to read that into the...
Or just give it to Carla, if you would, so that we have it in the record. That'd be great.
Okay.
Yes, that'd be very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mayor, I have two questions, if I could, with staff.
Just before you do that,
okay.
I'd like to thank Jan Valentine for all of your work with the graffiti cleanup, as well as everything else. It's practical assistance, as well as the intellectual stuff, is most appreciated.
Kyle, yes. Two questions about this, and it's probably already very clear in the ordinance, but if someone abandons one of these publication boxes, do we have the authority just to pick it up and scrap it?
We do have the authority to pick it up, but the way the enforcement process is going to go is first would be the contact the publisher, whoever that may be.
Let's assume you've done all that.
Then once we pick it up, we hold on to it, and I believe we're holding
on for 3 months.
3 months.
So that's fine. I would recommend at some point you simplify it so that after you've gone through those hoops, we contract with someone who picks it up and scraps it. Because we do have lots of scrap companies here that then recycle metal. And we have a hard enough time, as you know, with collecting people's possessions and managing that. If you want to start storing these things and having to go through that, I would welcome a simplified process where you can just make a few bucks off them and sell them if necessary. The second thing is, there are people out there that are partially responsible for vandalizing these things and making them the eyesores they are. I mean, and I do a lot more walking now, so people put graffiti on them, kick in the door, whatever. What's the punishment for someone that destroys property in the right of way there?
And so I'm going to go on a limb here, but there are existing ordinances and regulations and laws related to graffiti and also related to public vandalism. So they would be held accountable under that. We would still want the actual owner of the box to be responsible for it. So they understand that these things have a certain shelf life. So part of the issue we worked through with them was, well, they move these around sometimes. Sometimes they get so damaged or vandalized that we pull it and we buy a new one. So so talking with the publishers, they're already responsible for that. The more enforcement problem that we run into is where a company puts out some publication boxes for a quarterly publication and then goes bankrupt.
Yeah.
And they're still sitting out there. So we do anticipate we'll get abandoned boxes at the very beginning, and that's what we'll be dealing with. But all the publications we were working with are very responsible for their own boxes, and they keep them looking nice. Especially with paid publications, you know, their bottom line also depends on that. So there's an incentive for the publishers to keep their boxes looking nicely.
Yeah, I'll just give you, since I do a lot more walking now that I don't have a car.
Yeah.
I would say that my anecdotal experiences are a lot of them in very bad condition, and people kick them in, or you open it up, and people have put garbage inside and other kinds of things. And one of the reasons that I really like the program you've got before us today is that they are, from a consumer's point of view, it's nice to be able to have something that's neat and tidy and one stop, that's an attractive amenity, and that you can get all the newspapers you want to read. But it's hit or miss in my neighborhood about how these things are maintained.
Right.
And I also think that there are people who appear to go out of the way to vandalize them, and then you have an eyesore. And I just applaud this program because, again, it's aesthetically better, and it gives, I think, readers more choices in one location. So,
thank you.
Especially, Commissioner, better for the businesses, too, for those reasons that you stated, and because of the issue of that they are responsible for their boxes. So when I was commissioner in charge of ONI, I sent letters to the publishers of some of the major newspapers reminding them of that responsibility. It's obviously a lot easier for the businesses to band together and clean one of these bigger apartments or condos for publications than to have to continually look after their own boxes.
The business you're talking about that's responsible is the publisher, right? Not the coffee bar.
Correct.
Across the street.
It's the owner of the box.
Oh, wait,
and just one further note, it's a felony to put graffiti on a TriMet shelter, so that's something that folks should be aware of if they're thinking of vandalizing.
I think I know the answer to this, but who generally is responsible for the bike corrals that are in the right of way?
That's transportation.
I think I have an issue I want to raise with you later. It's near and dear to my heart in the last 24 hours, so thank you.
Okay. Other questions for staff? Thank you both.
Thanks.
Okay, and this is not an emergency ordinance, but it's a really good idea. So I want to thank both the commissioner and the bureau and the citizens that worked hard on this and set it over for second reading next week.
Mayor, I'm not sure if they're still here, but two more people were on the
list. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's the testimony list, Melissa Sason and Charles Johnson.
I don't think they are.
So before you gavel us out, I do again want to thank the community volunteers and also to recognize Milena Malone and Warren Jimenez, who are staff that worked on this issue way back when.
And thanks to Kyle and Rich.
Great job. Thank you. Okay, this comes back for second reading January 7th.